Well, good morning, everyone. Welcome to the statistical modeling section. I'm Mike Soto from Georgetown University. I want to thank David Yanez from the University of Washington, who's the organizer of this session, and of course the four speakers. So without further ado, I'd like to introduce the first speaker, or Ofer Harau, please. And each one will have 20 minutes, and then we have a little bit of time at the end for questions.
Thank you. Since this is my first APHA meeting, I wasn't sure the level, so I toned down the JSM talks and eliminate all statistics. So we're going to talk about modeling, but from conceptual ideas. So I'm mostly interested in missing data, and I start looking on HIV prevention recently. So we want to see how those two are related. So I understand I need to have no disclosure to present. And it's a joint work with two people in the psychology department and funded by a KO1 by NIH. So I'll give you some motivation for the missing data problem and the general problems that I'm interested in. And then I'll just couple of slides of the ad hoc procedures that people are using to deal with missing data, and then probably one slide of the more principled techniques that one should use for missing data, and probably most statisticians using those, but non-statisticians sometimes use the others. and in the methods, I'll talk about some literature review process that we looked at and done some resolved discussions and recommendations. So what's the problem? Most estimation procedures were not designed to handle missing data. All of them were designed to look on rectangular data when we have usually individuals as rows and variables as columns. And most of the times we are interested to look on this rectangle as our data. So even small amount of missing values might cause a great difficulty if the statistical software or the statistical procedure is not aligned to deal with those holes. Unprincipled missing data methods can do more harm than good. Bias, inefficiency, misleading uncertainty measures, and the principal statistical methods are usually computationally complicated and messy. And probably the most important, usually we don't really care about those missing values. Those are nonsense. Those are not the prime interest. What we are interested is to make a valid inference about the population characteristic. So we are going back to the introduction to statistics. We have a population. We want to see something about the population. Now, usually when we have complete data, we are doing some type of analysis based on a sample and make the inference to that population based on the analysis that we made. Now, instead of complete data, we want to do the same thing from incomplete data. So we are not interested in recovering, predicting, or estimating the missing values. I don't really care what those missing values are as long as I can make the inference I'm interested in. As long as I can say that the relationship between those variables are something, or the, as long as I can say something about the population, I don't care about those missing values. It is good to know or understand the reason for those missingness, and we'll talk about that later. I would say it's good to avoid modeling the missingness, and other people would disagree with that, but that's a different way of looking on the problem, and we'll touch a little bit on that as well. And we have to make some untestable assumptions, okay? The values are missing, and we don't know what they are, so we have to make some assumptions about those missing values or the reason why they are missing values. And therefore, sensitivity analysis is always useful. We can make different assumptions about those missing values and see how the result changes. If there is no change, then probably the assumption doesn't really matter. If you have a big change, then those assumptions really matter, and then you have to think what you could or should do in order to get better inferences. So There are tools to deal with incomplete data in the statistics and biostatistics literature, but HIV prevention scientists don't really use them, or we don't know how much they use them, and that's what we were interested to look at. And we were hoping to come up with some recommendations as well. So what are those ad hoc techniques? So probably the most used procedure is case deletion, or some type of a deletion procedure, where you have this rectangular data and you have missing values, and each observation that has missing values being omitted. So we are omitting the complete incomplete cases, and then look at what's left, and that we are looking at as if that is a complete data, and then analyzing that. Under some circumstances, that would be fine from bias perspective, although most of the time that would be would give you bias results. The big issue with case deletion is that even if you have small percent of missing values in many variables, you can lose huge amount of your data. So definitely inefficiency is a big problem. So after, and that is the main procedure that is built in all the statistical software, and that's probably why most people are using that, those who doesn't think about the need of thinking about the missing data problem. So then the next step was some type of reweighting procedure, and that after we erase all those observations, try to reweight those observations that stay in our data so they more likely to look like the real sample. And then another ad hoc procedure is some type of single imputations, and there are many types of single imputations, started with hot deck by the census, and mean imputation, last observation carry forward, still being used a lot. So there are many, many ways to do single imputations, and some are better than others, but all of them has the problem that after you impute a value, you consider this value as the true value, even though you know that is not the case. So that, again, usually would reduce your confidence interval, you'd reduce your variability, and therefore things that in theory would not be significant might be significant under these setups. So after statisticians saw what people are using, they said we need to deal with a procedure that would take missing values into consideration. And there are three main area of research that deal with incomplete data set. The first, and I collapse them together, is likelihood and Bayes procedures. EM, PROC-MIX would allow you to look on those procedures. And those are, in essence, parametric models. So you make some type of assumptions about the model of the data, and either maximum the likelihood or maximum the posterior over those missing values. And it's usually being done by computation techniques. The next is multiple imputation, which is built on the likelihood base. So the idea here that instead of doing the single imputation, we're doing the imputation several times, and by doing that, adding the variability so that the inference would be correct. And then the other procedure is some type of a semi-parametric method, such as the GE and weighted GE. And over there, instead of modeling the within subject covariance, we're just modeling the mean response. And both GE and weighted GE can deal with missing data under different assumptions. So, probably the most important slide, anyone that deals with missing data need to understand the missing data assumptions. So there are many assumptions, but there are three main assumptions. So the first is missing completely at random, And if we think of R as an indicator that tells you whether a variable Y is observed or missing. So R is always observed. You always can look at the data and say whether it's observed or missing. But we look at this now as a random variable. Okay? So now we are looking on the relationship between this R, whether the data is observed or missing, related to your data, what you observe the data. And if this R is not depends on anything in the data, then we call it missing completely at random. We had a computer crash and some of our data was erased, unrelated to anything in the study, it will not make an impact. So that we call missing completely at random, flipping a coin, another example. Missing at random look and says, if R depends only on observed data, either covariate or the observed Y, then it will be considered missing at random. So if we have two variables, Y1 and Y2, and Y2 is missing if Y1 is greater than some value, that would be missing at random. And then missing not at random if both the first two doesn't hold, and then in that case, we need to model both Y and R. So in general, when you have a missing data problem, you have to model both the data Y and the missingness R together. Okay? And based on those missing data assumptions, we can come to ignorability, which is the minimal condition under which we don't need to model R. So in a sense, we wanted to take this R and take it out of the equation. And if we have missing at random and parameter distinctness, then we can do that. And then we can throw those R's, don't need to think about it, and just model Y. If we have non-ignorable missingness, i.e. missing not at random, then we need to model both. And there are methods to deal with it, but I would not get into it right now. So we did a literature review. We used the data from the HIV AIDS Revision Research Synthesis Project. It's a database maintained by CDC. We looked on four electronic bibliography database and then pulling manually all 35 others which are not in that. So they are looking on most database and all that was published. So we searched the database in June 2010, and the queries were, we wanted to look on randomized controlled trials, so we wanted to be the studies that are well designed. We want to report behavioral intervention of HIV or STDs, and then we want biological outcome, because people claim that those are the best outcomes that there is. And we wanted to see from 2005 to present, or until 2010, because those are kind of the leading studies. So that resulted in 57 studies. We looked at those. HIV person looked at them and put it in a table of pre-specified information. And then a second reviewer went through that and got to an agreement that with the first, and then we put everything into one table. The studies were conducted all over the world, United States, Mexico, Jamaica, Africa, Asia, Europe, so all over. All studies have some level of missing values, but not all of them reported in the same manner. The average move from 3% to 97%. And 97% is not a typo. Okay? So there are studies with 97% missing values that are being published. Okay? So
Does that mean that 97% of the cases have one missing value, or 90% could
you be don't
that,
know.
Mean that?
You don't know. But just another side, that's not necessarily a bad thing, because I have an example of 95% missing values, which it's by design. Okay? You cannot get the information, so you are taking a small people which are very hard to get, and then you get more information about other people and combine them together. The average missing values across was around 26%. And if you look on different cell sizes, you know that different studies did different analysis with different sample sizes. Okay, so the comparison was not easy. So none of this. When I started, I was interested in how many really specified the missing data assumption. And I was sure that at least there would be some, but none. None talked about the missing data assumption. It's ignorable, it's non-ignorable, missing at random, non-missing at random. And in most cases, that implies that they probably use missing completely at random. So we looked on those, and based on the analysis that they've made, we can look at what the assumption that was probably been done. So 43 of the studies, which are 75%, use complete case analysis and reduce the sample to those with complete data. 7 studies, which are 12%, use some type of variation of GE, which is, they use the whole data, but it still would be biased under the missing at random assumption. And 7 studies use some type of a maximum likelihood estimation, which would be unbiased under a missing at random assumption. So if I'm willing to make the assumption that MAR is a reasonable assumption compared to missing completely at random, and I'm not even going to missing not at random. So I'm saying, let's assume I can, there are studies that show that if you collect enough information, you can get very close to missing at random. If I'm making this assumption, then I can say that only 5 studies of the 57 would have unbiased results, which means that around 88% might have biased results. And this is published results. So in the review of the 5 years of HIV prevention and randomized controlled trials, we found that all studies didn't mention their assumptions regarding the missing data situation. Most of them use statistical methods which are most probably would be biased under most common missing data assumptions. And we touch about available methodology that people can use in order for that not to happen. And we hope that HIV prevention researchers would put more attention into missing data problem. Not thinking about the missing data problem doesn't mean that the problem goes away. So if you are ignoring the problem, you're just saying, okay, I let SAS or R or SPSS or you choose the statistical software to make the decision for me, that the decision would be missing completely at random, all this analysis would be eliminated. Those who are using GE, and I know there is a huge trend now to use GE, you have to remember that GE would be unbiased under missing completely at random. If you want it to be unbiased under missing at random, you have to add the weights. So we hope people would start disclose the missing data rates, missing data assumptions, and the methods they use to address those missing data in their published work. And we hope that this practice will promote the application of proper techniques and greater understanding of the methodological and statistical issue involving handling incomplete data. So what we can do about it? And that's probably the most important. So first of all, we need to minimize missing values. So when we design the studies, we should do everything we can in order to minimize the missing values before we actually starting the design. During the study, try to get those people. Plan for missing values. So even if you do whatever you do, you still most probably would have missing values. Plan for them. And know what you're going to do when missing people are not coming to your study, when you cannot get them. Determine the mechanism of missingness. Apply appropriate techniques, report missingness and techniques used, and do sensitivity analysis. Take assumptions which are across the different types of assumptions so that you'll be able to see how the assumptions which are untestable impact your analysis and impact your results. Because That's the only way you can do, unless you have a lot of money. And then you can go back to those who didn't answer and get the information from them and then look at the difference between those two and then validate the assumption. But unless you don't have that, it's still only an assumption. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Very nice talk and also remarkably well timed.